blessing that God has allowed us to assemble here again, that we might continue and conclude our worship service on this Lord's Day, July the 22nd, 2012. We invite you to get your Bibles, please. Turn with us to a somewhat obscure passage in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. And it came to pass, Luke 11, 27 and 28, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Would like to talk to you about the exclamation of an unidentified woman. An exclamation of an unidentified woman. This woman was so impressed by Jesus. She was so impressed about the kind of man that he was. She experienced such strong feelings about Jesus that apparently it would have been very difficult for her to refrain from lifting up her voice and expressing what was on her heart. She felt constrained to speak out. As we look at these two verses, let's consider first of all the person involved. Now, all we are told is, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman in the company or of the company. We don't know exactly who that certain woman was. We don't know what her name was. We don't know what her background was. We don't know what her ethnicity was. We don't know what her age was. All we know is that she was in the crowd. She was in the great company that were there present to hear the words of Jesus. We do know that she was interested in spiritual things. We do know that She was willing to listen to the word of God because she was in and amongst the company of auditors that listened to what Jesus had to say. And we know that this woman felt very passionately about Jesus. I don't know why she felt so strongly as we focus on the passion of this person. But she was very impressed, passionately so, by Jesus. And as indicated earlier, she was constrained to make a proclamation of how she felt, an expression of her great passion about Jesus. Now the proclamation was, notice, this woman in great passion lifted up her voice and said unto him, she's talking to Jesus. Jesus had been talking to them, but now she is talking to the Lord. You know, we need to talk to the Lord. And we need to allow the Lord to talk to us. She is expressing herself to the Lord. And she was seeking, apparently, to pay Jesus a compliment of the highest order. And furthermore, and additionally, she was seeking to pay his mother also a compliment of the highest order. And really, she was talking to Jesus, and she was referring to Jesus' mama. Now, Jesus' mama was a wonderful lady. Jesus' mother was singled out for the greatest opportunity that any Jewish woman could have ever hoped to have, to be the mother of the promised Messiah. She was specifically chosen by the Lord to bring Jesus into the world. But yet, she was only a humble servant. And I know that many in the religious world, especially among the Catholics, have accorded unjustified honor to Mary, calling her the mother of the Lord. And insofar as being his physical mother, that is true. But in a spiritual sense, it is not true. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Back up a little bit. To Luke chapter 2, God dispatched an angel from heaven. Rather, Luke chapter 1, and he gave a message to a young lady whose name was Mary. Notice in verse number 28, and the angel, well, start verse 27, to a virgin. Verse 26, rather, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, we emphasize her moral purity. She is identified as a virgin who was espoused. We would say engaged, but it's a stronger term than that. But this virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, that is, when Mary saw the angel, when she saw Gabriel, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, he said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I am pure. I am a virgin. I am morally undefiled from a sexual perspective." But notice, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Notice verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord." She submitted herself to the will of God. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, Mary had a wonderful spirit. Brother Daniel spoke of us having a submissive spirit and a thankful spirit, a grateful spirit, an obedient spirit. That's the kind of spirit that was exemplified in the life of Mary. And as a young person, maybe 13 or 14 or no more than 15 years of age, you can appreciate her moral purity. You can appreciate her submissive spirit to the will of God. You can appreciate her bowing to the will of God and having respect for the word. She said, surely, all of us should be able to say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, there's another passage in some ways similar to the passage I read from Luke chapter 11. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verses 47 through 50. Matthew 12, verses 47 through 50. Notice Matthew chapter 12, 46 rather, 46 through 50. Matthew chapter 12. "While he yet spake to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. In verse number 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus was emphasizing the superiority of the spiritual relationships over mere physical relationships. He was saying, there's a closer relationship to me than my physical mother, than my physical brother, or than my physical sister. He said, if you want to identify with me, if you want to be a part of my family, if you want to be kin to me, then it is necessary that you submit to the will of God. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And remember what we considered in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She had respect for the will of the Father in heaven. And if we are to be identified as a part of the family of Jesus, if we are to be regarded as Jesus' kinfolk, we must always strive to obey the will of his Father, which is in heaven. Now, going back to Luke chapter 11, we've considered the person, the passion, and now the proclamation. How many of you have children that you are proud of? Okay, all right, you have children that you're proud of. I see a number of hands going up. And of course, when we say proud, we don't mean in the negative, pejorative fashion by which pride is defined. Scripture. We mean that we feel good about, that we are thankful for, that we are grateful for. You know, you'll hear some people say, child, I'm so proud of my daughter, I don't know what to do. I'm so proud of my son, I don't know what to do. We could better say, I'm so grateful for my son that I don't know what to do. They listen to me. They have internalized the values and the spiritual principles that I have sought to inculcate into their hearts. They are living in a way that is consistent with God's will. They are faithful members of the body of Christ. They are fine and upstanding young people, and they are accomplished people in their profession. They are upstanding, positive, contributing members of society and successful in their chosen careers. And they are involved in a positive way in the church of the Lord and in the service of God. I'm just so proud of them. Isn't that wonderful? To have that kind of attitude, that kind of spirit. Let me call your attention real quick to another passage. Turn to 3 John. 3 John. verse number 4, 3 John, verse number 4. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is particularly fulfilling. That is deeply gratifying. That is something that is wonderful, something that is commendable, something that you can smile about and thank God for. John says, I have no greater joy. There's some other joys I'm sure John had, but he said none was greater than to hear that his children walked in truth. Now, this unidentified woman in the company, consider her proclamation. She said, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps, that is the breasts, which thou hast sucked. See, he's talking to Jesus. He said, blessed in essence is your mama's womb. Blessed is the womb that bare thee. Isn't it wonderful that God grants women the privilege of motherhood, that they can bring children into the world? And it's an awesome and solemn responsibility that has been entrusted into their care. She said, blessed is the womb that bear you into the world, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But Jesus, upon hearing this proclamation, and the woman was sincere, the woman was passionate, the woman was serious, but listen to the response that Jesus gives. And in his response, Jesus places things in a proper perspective. Jesus said, and notice the but, which signifies the introduction of a contrast. But he said, yes, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do. You know, it's a wonderful thing to give birth to a child that is God-fearing and a child that achieves success in life and a child that one could be proud of. But it is much more significant. It is much more important for us to hear the word of God and do it. Jesus always sought to do the will of his Father. Jesus always sought to please his Father. He said, I've come not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And God, on two specific occasions, acknowledged how he felt about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus came up out of the River Jordan after having been just baptized, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form or shape of a dove. And a voice from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says that a voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So when we hear him and heed him, then we are blessed, because Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it." I think we need to be periodically reminded of the solemn obligation we have as Christians to always have an open and attentive ear to hear the word of the Lord and to do it. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him." We've considered the person, this unidentified woman, the passion she felt, the proclamation she made, and Jesus putting things in the proper perspective. If you are here this evening, you're not yet a child of God, you can become one through obedience to the gospel of Christ. He died for you because he loved you so much. He was buried and he arose from the grave on the third day. That's the good news, because he did it in your place. You were condemned to die, but Jesus took your place. He bore it all that you might live. Believe that good news of the gospel with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, and you can arise to walk in the newness of life. If you're here and you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside and need to rededicate your life, we encourage you to do that even right now through repentance, confession, and prayer. We ask you to come as we together stand and as we sing. Wow, shit.